proteins. Here I'm talking about proteins as polymers, and the monomers from which they're built up are called amino acids. There are about 20 of these, but I'll talk about what they've got in common. Now, first of all, amino is an NH2 group, so they've all got that. The acid part, well, that might as well be COOH, the carboxylic acid group. And in between these, these are both joined to a carbon atom called the alpha carbon, which has one hydrogen attached to it, and something which could be as small as another hydrogen, or quite large. And there are effectively 20 different R groups. Now, in these pages, I've decided to put the sort of simple and straightforward stuff down the left-hand column, and then give you a little bit more detail on the right-hand side. So you can see pictures of, or formulae for, the 20 amino acids, which of course all, or mostly, end in I-N-E, their names. And you can click on them and see the various names, but as long as you know the common features about the NH2 one side and the COOH the other side, and the mystery R groups, then you're fine. But if you want to know more, there it is. Now then, amino acids can be joined together by a condensation reaction, and two amino acids joined together make a dipeptide. It always strikes me as odd that this is called a dipeptide, and there's one bond between it called a peptide, and three amino acids joined together makes a tripeptide with two peptide links. The peptide links are CONH, they've lost H from one side and OH from the other, and basically they join amino acids end to end. That's the main way amino acids join together, unlike carbohydrates and lipids. But the point is, you can get very, very long chains of amino acids, and these then get called polypeptides. Polypeptides can do all sorts of rearrangements, and there are said to be something like four levels of protein structure, which is what I'm explaining here. So the primary level of protein structure is simply the order of amino acids that you just joined up, which you can make. There are two tricks, actually, for describing the names of these things. There are three letter codes and one letter codes for amino acids, and you can sort of string those all together and sort of specify the sequence of amino acids, so which is the primary structure. Now, the secondary structure, level of structure, is when that polypeptide does something else like coiling. It might coil into a thing called an alpha helix, not to confuse with the double helix of DNA or any other helices you might have heard of. But they might also make something called a beta pleated sheet, which is a flatter looking structure. And some of the molecular models on this site you can see in sort of 3D. You can move them around and see these different coils, which are mostly alpha helices and flat structures, perhaps with an arrowhead on the end in the cartoon format, which are these beta pleated sheets. The next level, tertiary level, is where polypeptide chain sort of folds back on itself again and becomes sort of locked. Now, both this and the secondary level of protein structure are held together by certain types of bonds. I should have said that the secondary level is mostly held together by hydrogen bonds between amino acids, not necessarily the next amino acid, but perhaps someone a bit two or three or four further up the chain. But the tertiary, third level of structure is mostly held together by bonds between different R groups, and they might just be hydrogen bonds or other types of bonds. Acid and base interactions, polar non-polar interactions, etc. Sometimes even disulfide bridges between two cysteines. And basically the tertiary level of structure gives the protein a shape. And that's the whole point. Proteins are shaped. They are three-dimensional, complicated little molecules. Some of them can be sort of round, globular in shape. And often those are the ones which have a function like enzymes. They have a particular shape. Or sometimes they're sort of fibrous And structural and functional proteins tend to have slightly different shapes in this way. Now, I nearly forgot to say, this is because it's not terribly important in a lot of proteins, there is this thing called the quaternary level of protein structure, where everything I've said before applies, but you haven't just got one polypeptide chain wound up to make a protein, you've got several of them associated. And hemoglobin is an example which is often given. There are two alpha and two beta chains. In fact, there are four polypeptide chains in hemoglobin. Curiously, if you compare it to, I don't know, myoglobin, it's almost the same. Myoglobin has one chain and hemoglobin has four. But lots of proteins join together to make double things, dimers, trimers, and insulin, surprisingly. In some circumstances, it joins together to make, I think, six. So that's a hexamer. Anyway, I've given quite a lot more detail than some people would like, but I think you'll find it, I hope you find it interesting. And I've given some mouse over diagrams to show you some of these important things. And there are quite a lot of other files on this website you can go onto and look at the JSMOL versions of lots of proteins and enzymes, and you'll see, in a sense, it duplicates. Here I am duplicating what there is elsewhere on the site. I hope you find this useful. Now, another thing I've done here is I've just talked a little bit about plants and animal proteins, and I think some people think of proteins as a sort of, well, from a human point of view, you think of meat and that's about all you come from. But the point actually is, proteins are made by plants in the first place. Only they can combine N from nitrates with CH and O from carbohydrates to make amino acids. And let's face it, there's a whole lot of ecology here, but let's put it this way. Herbivores, primary consumers, eat plants which are producers, and therefore they take in proteins, they break them down to amino acids, they digest them, they assimilate them into animal proteins, and then when other consumers eat those, they are taking in protein and converting it into amino acids and then into protein again and again and again. From our point of view, we can take in certain amino acids. We have to have certain amino acids, which we call essential ones, and others we can make by conversion. But then I've given some examples of plant proteins and examples of animal proteins, and reminding you that even things like viruses, when they are inside the host cell, are making proteins, and some of them end up in the virus itself, especially the outside part, capsid. One more little linguistic point to end with. Proteins have an unusual spelling. Some people get muddled with this. You might have heard that expression, I before E except after C, which makes you spell receive and things like that correctly. But I'm going to modify that and say I before E except after C and in biology. That way you get protein spelled E-I-N-S at the end. Another thing, amino, doesn't matter which way you say it. That's that. And the plural of helix. It's not helixes, but helices.